One not often considered aspect of the Fermi paradox in contemplating why we don't see anyone else out there, at least not so far, we've only just begun in that regard, is the simple fact of directionality in your communications. The reality is, when sending a communication signal, you want to make it as narrow as you possibly can, a beam, as best you can make it. You only need to hit the target receiver. Anything else ultimately is unintended leakage, which wastes energy. In a lot of ways, some leakage is unavoidable, but you can try to do the best you can. That would very likely be true for an alien civilization as well. If you're going to go through the trouble of collecting or producing energy, you probably don't want to frivolously waste some of it if you don't have to, unless you have a specific reason to do that. There simply usually isn't a reason to just waste energy, even if you have a lot of it available. It's just good sense to mitigate a rule of the universe. Now, there is a conditional case here where conserving energy isn't what you want to do. When SETI first began with the seminal Kekkonen-Morrison paper of the late 1950s, the first place to look was the low-hanging fruit, an omnidirectional powerful beacon intended to get anyone in the galaxy that was looking in the radio spectrum's attention, especially if it was at a specific frequency, or set of frequencies, instead of even more costly broadband. And it would get attention if you were tossing out yottawatts of energy, as a star like the sun does in visible light. But you were radioing that across the entire plane of the Milky Way, narrowband. You would be seen by a huge swath of stars in this galaxy. Indeed, you might even be visible to nearby galaxies. And by doing it narrowband, it would be unmistakable as a technological signal, especially if you broadcast it continuously for very long periods of time. The problem is, to do that, you need to harness the full power of a moderately sized star like the Sun with its 384 yottawatts per second output, really close to a giant star rather than a tiny, low-output dwarf star with an enormous Dyson swarm of energy collectors to power your beacon. If contacting other species were your main aim in existence, you could do it. But at the same time, as the early days of SETI showed, no one in this galaxy seems to have done that. Beacons like this are not totally rolled out for various reasons yet, but it's certainly not as obvious as it could be if such a thing is out there. In short, there are ways to scream your existence, and no mistake will be made. But we aren't doing that, and we don't see anyone else doing it either. With more nuanced and weaker signals with distance, the fact is, scattering is going to happen. So the modern hope in SETI is to catch either the leakage of an alien civilization's internal communications, or a laser-driven light sail, or something like a radar, where the signal can be wider and stronger, but also signals an optical that might make use of things like laser communications targeted at us on purpose. These are all less expensive energy-wise than a beacon. After all, we have no idea what aliens would or would not do, and sending a signal directly to a promising planet with a detectable biosphere might be something they do. Maybe with such a mature exoplanet, you might get a signal from someone if they are there. But that's only if they want to talk to us, which is a big if. Or not. Equally possible are alien civilizations that might see Earth's biosphere, not want us to know they are there, unless they avoid beaming any signal towards this planet, or perhaps even any other exoplanets that appear habitable. It might be a security protocol, even if you have no idea if there was anyone there that could receive your signals. You may still designate star systems with worlds that could have a civilization you haven't detected yet because of the speed of light limit as off limits for sending anything in their direction, a dead zone where you do not broadcast. And security is only one reason aliens might avoid sending anything. They might also have a prime directive sort of idea, where you do not beam any indication of your existence towards aliens of lesser technology in order to not affect their growth and development. Let them be them until they figure out that aliens must be out there and try to contact you. You contacted us. We were merely listening, to paraphrase Contact. This would be a really tall order for us right now, though, since we've only ever sent out a handful of signals to message alien civilizations that might be out there. and the really viable signals we did were generally not broadcasted widely, but directionally. Someone might see it or they may not, but the only way they would see it is if they were monitoring our direction on a constant basis. One short signal of a short duration is easily missed. As far as monitoring constantly, this is something we ourselves do not do. We do not yet do permanent all-sky 24/7 SETI. We've dabbled with it, but nothing permanently yet, which is what you need. You may even need to do it for centuries or longer for any hope of picking up the type of signal we've sent to contact aliens, which were few and far between, never repeated, and overall weak other than the Arecibo signal. But as with something like the Arecibo signal, anyone that could pick it up would need to know exactly when to look, and there isn't a way for them to do that without constantly monitoring for millions of years. As an aside, there is a strange aspect to this. Earth is 4.5 billion years old and has had life for billions of years of that. All life that ever existed on this world, so far as we know, has never had radio capability except us, and then only recently. Earth has been listening to radio for less than a drop in the ocean of the age of the Earth. But say for a moment it was Earth itself that could pick up signals. While there obviously is hope in SETI and even artifact SETI, the most likely object associated with us to have ever nominally seen, in quotes, evidence of aliens is Earth itself. Countless radio transmissions beamed intentionally or unintentionally towards Earth, asking if anyone is home perhaps, may have waved over this planet hundreds, thousands, or even more times in the history of this world. There was simply no one here listening, and we missed them. Obviously, Earth can't pick up a technological radio signal and interpret it, but it's a fun thought to ask what stories it might tell if it could. That's if Earth would even talk to us. It might just as easily have been uninterested, aloof, at best say, meh, they're aliens, and not tell us anything more, or just call us a surface infection that it needs to see an exoplanet doctor about. I digress. There is a signal aliens would see regarding this world or any others, the biosignatures. One reason to consider this is our own biosphere. While we've only been sending out nominal technosignatures aliens could detect through things like radio transmissions for just over a century, Earth has already sold us out and betrayed us by broadcasting the existence of our biosphere for many millions of years. There has been enough, well enough, time for the weird oxygen levels of our world, among other signatures of life, for anyone in the Milky Way that was looking at this world to have seen the biosignatures. But it may also be that they don't care situationally. Sometimes you might see them if you know what to look for, but sometimes you might not. This is like the Arecibo signal. Think of it like this. You can certainly directionally broadcast on Earth, things like certain satellite downlinks. You can also broadcast radio stations in all directions if you don't care if anyone else in a foreign nation hears them. Indeed, this is sometimes done intentionally for a number of reasons. To reach as wide of an audience as possible, or to deliver messages to peoples in closed nations, or to deliver coded messages by shortwave to operatives, or even misinformation, and so on. But what also is done are broadcasts intended to not be picked up by anyone else, or otherwise so buried in code no one will ever figure them out. What we really don't do is care about uncontacted tribes of people on Earth as far as radio. They don't have radios, so no effort is put into filtering what radio signals they receive. They can't receive them anyway. This obviously could be us overall. The aliens may communicate in ways that we simply have no idea are there, or we cannot currently utilize them, such as gravitational wave communication or neutrinos, or even speculative science things like dark photons. All we really know that those kinds of speculative communications technologies seem really hard to send and receive, and do not give very many advantages over radio, since they are also speed of light limited communication. What advantage there is, however, with such communications is that for neutrinos and gravity, they go through anything. Nothing meaningfully blocks them, which is not the case for photons. And if the isolated group of humans did develop radio on their own, it's a lot harder to go from cold trying to understand a language you don't understand over a radio without direct interaction from another human to teach you that language and vice versa. You need a basic framework and person to come up with a way to figure it out mutually. This is not going to happen with distant aliens. Aliens may well see it that way, that it doesn't matter to them if anyone catches their leakage, because the other civilization is too unlikely to be able to decode it. But we haven't seen that, or at least not recognized it, if that is the case, so far. Also worth noting here that we don't know what the social whims and evolution of alien societies might be. That could be really situational on its own. An example would be a civilization that broadcasts and listens for alien signals for a few hundred years, never finds anything, and simply stops searching. They end their version of funding for it because it hasn't produced fruit, or they stop at the first one they detect, or the society moves in a direction to no longer look. But again, we've barely looked, and there is an issue. Past a certain distance of perhaps 100 light years, it becomes less and less likely we'd pick up an alien civilization's signals due to power loss over distance, the inverse square law, and there is a kind of bias in radio SETI against very weak signals. Indeed, some seemingly promising candidates in SETI have been disregarded predominantly over weakness. But our own radio stations, for the most part, are not visible at Alpha Centauri. They are far too weak. We may well be that discarded weak signal somewhere out there. Our global culture, with our art, music, thinking, literature, everything that makes humanity interesting, would simply be lost to someone out there who said, you know, this signal probably isn't anything. It's too weak. Only certain things we do are powerful, and the aliens could see if they are close enough, like radar. Unless, of course, they have a radio telescope the size of New Jersey. Weakness is relative when you have a very large dish, which we do not. We have big ones, but not on that level. But that may be the case for the aliens as well. Outside of a certain distance, they may not broadcast anything strong enough for us to see above the noise. Again, broadcasting strongly costs more energy. And receiving weak signals requires you to build enormous radio telescopes, probably in space. And there are physical limits to that outside of interferometry, which has limits of its own. Indeed, that is a solution to the Fermi paradox that isn't often talked about in discussions on that subject. The fact that alien signals might just be really weak, or if you will, call them hard-to-see aliens. Our own tend to be, so why not theirs? We are a hard-to-see civilization, if not the Earth's biosphere itself. Maybe aliens don't build beacons, too costly, but they also don't build 24/7 medium power signals either, if they don't need them internally. That's actually on the more likely end of the solutions, but often doesn't get discussed as much as it should. But ultimately, one must ask a more philosophical question here. Why would aliens care at all about communicating with us or even watching us? It's certainly possible that aliens simply do not care. You can put this in human terms. The first alien civilization we find and can prove is in fact aliens will constitute one of the greatest discoveries humanity has ever made. The second discovery of another civilization will be a headline, but will not have the impact of the first. The third, less. Well, what happens if you are catalog entry 217? Would anyone but specialist scientists care? On Earth, unless there was something extremely interesting about you, the reality is few would care about the 217th alien civilization ever discovered, a primitive one that only has had radio communication for a very short time. It may be the case, going by humanity, that by that time, only some specialists care, and they probably do not get much in the way of resources to study Species 217 very closely. A few may care, deeply for scientific reasons or cultural reasons or some other reason. Often it's termed that we would be like ants to a highly advanced civilization. Who would care about us? Well, on Earth, there are scientists who dedicate their entire careers to studying ants. I've done some interesting interviews on Event Horizon on the scientific study of ants. One, because I find ants interesting, but two, by studying species on Earth radically different from us, studying ants might just give us clues on how to study an alien species, should we ever find one. That may go for aliens as well. But there's one thing to remember. The ants, generally, don't care about us. Food for thought. Thanks for listening. I'm futurist and science fiction author Jean-Michel Godier, currently eyeing Earth more than suspiciously. It gave up our location, atmospheric conditions, the whole Magilla with its biosphere long before we got here. To anyone out there that may be drawing their plans against us, Well, I guess telling Earth to get off my lawn might be a bit too harsh. It was actually life itself altering Earth's atmosphere that did it, in which case I am now eyeing the lawn suspiciously, because not only is it life, it's photosynthesizing and adding to the biosignature. Can't win in this universe. And be sure to check out my books, your favorite online book retailer, and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.